Welcome into the DNVR Rockies podcast, brought to you, as always, by DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook. Download the app and use code DNVR when you sign up. Welcome in to a Wednesday edition of the DNVR Rockies podcast. I'm Susie Hunter, joined by our special guest co-host of the day, Christian Saez.
How's it going, everyone?
Yes,
she's got a live studio audience. I know. All the way from beautiful, sunny Washington to enjoy this Colorado weather. It's good. Baseball weather, as I always say.
I was going to say, yeah, you guys were talking about this before the show. All weather is baseball weather for you guys.
In Washington, yeah. I mean, you know, if it's raining, it rains all year round. So it doesn't matter if it's raining, sunny, it doesn't matter. You're playing.
Yeah.
Going outside, get some turf, and you're playing.
I wonder if it's like that in Canada.
Yeah, probably. I would think so, too. We're pretty close to Canada. We'd like to say that we're just, a few minutes away from Canada.
Shout out to the guy who just randomly writes only Canada in the comments.
No context.
No context, Canada. I don't know what you want or what you want from us or what you're talking about, but...
It's a mystery.
I just want you to know that you're seen.
Yeah.
And we wonder about you.
We're thinking about you, Canada.
We're thinking about you with a lot of question marks. We got a pretty cool show for you. I mean, we've got more updates from spring training, injury updates from Bud Black, because we've got a lot of guys who are nursing some stuff. We've got a great one-on-one that Patrick sent in with Connor Siebold, one of the new guys.
Yeah.
So it'll be good to get to know him. He is, I mean, spoiler alert, he was not ready for this lack of humidity in Arizona.
Yeah, no, it's a bit of a wake-up call for some people. And, you know, and especially these young guys getting to experience some of their first spring trainings, it's going to be a wake-up call for a lot of guys.
A wake-up call for sure. Brian Servin, I mean, he's always been ready. He has always looked like a major leaguer who just wasn't a major leaguer yet. But he, first of all, he has a new child. It is a Tamagotchi. And I know you don't know what that is, and we're going to break that down in a little bit. But also, the Rockies put together an awesome mic'd up spring training experience, and we're going to share that too, because I think he's such a character.
Yeah, it looks like they've been doing a lot. They've been engaging with the players, making a lot of fun out of spring training. That's what it's supposed to be. Baseball season hasn't started yet. You're just having fun.
Exactly. And then at some point, we're going to hear from Patrick Lyons, who is down there with all the latest, even more stuff. I heard there was a fire drill. Sounds like it's having a really great time.
Yeah, I know. I saw the post on DNVR Rockies on Twitter and saying that, you know, it's a cold, windy day over there. And I just wanted to look outside and say, well, you could be here, Patrick. So I'm not too worried about you.
There's snow out there.
There's snow, negative 10 wind chill. Yeah.
I was wearing shorts yesterday.
Yeah.
I was wearing shorts, and now look at me.
There were so many dogs outside yesterday. It was insane. I mean, all of our neighbors had their dogs outside. Like, it was the last day they would ever be able to go on a walk. And it feels like it. This morning, I took my dog out, like, oh, maybe we'll play for about 15 minutes. And 2 minutes in, we were both done.
Oh, my gosh. Zia's not a cold dog?
She's not a cold dog. She
start seems like a princess.
Prancing
she wouldn't be.
Around, like, trying to pick up all her paws off the snow. It's not good for her.
Poor baby.
Yeah. Sad day for her today. She's going to be an inside dog today.
Thoughts and prayers for Zia.
All
She's
the dogs.
Such a cutie. All right. So let's start off. Let's start the show off with our injury updates because we've got sound from Bud Black. Are we ready to roll that? All right. So here is what Rockies manager Bud Black had to say about the array of injuries that our Rockies guys are facing right now.
You know, Herman's been able to keep his arm going even from the hamstring strain. Sensa continues to stay on track. Our medical staff, training staff, strength guys are encouraged by his progress, so both are doing fine. Herman should be, again, long-term, everybody's concerned about the season. He should be able to be ready to start the season. And no immediate plans of when he's thrown in a game. You know, he'll jump on the mound again here in the next day or two to get back on the mound. Rawlinson's throwing a bullpen today. He threw one Friday. He threw some bullpens prior to camp as well. So he's progressing. It's a progress of building arm strength, increasing intensity. You know, it's a buildup. But he's on track. He's doing great. Grichuk, again, this is a period of time now where he just has to recover from the surgery. Not much activity. You know, that will increase, you know, 3, 4, 5 days at a time of just the movements. It's going to be really close for him. Again, I'm just basing this on what we're hearing from his surgeon in Philadelphia. And from Randall says, which, you know, all players are encouraged and players want to get back and play, as you guys know. Again, too early to make a call on Gritchie, whether he'll be ready opening day. Better idea 3 weeks from now when he gets when he puts on a baseball pants and starts doing baseball activities. We have an update on Jake Bird. He was thrown his bullpen session yesterday prior to going into a live batting practice. Suffered a oblique strain. Jake is down. We don't know how long. We'll see how this sets up in the next 2 or 3 days, but he'll be out here in the short term, the next week to 10 days with limited baseball activities. You just got to let that area calm down. He's sore. I'm sure you guys will catch up with him. But that, you know, it's an early setback for Jake. Probably puts his WBC participation in jeopardy. I mean, I would think that probably excludes him from participating. This is a bummer, right? No player. But again, silver lining, better now than a month from now.
Christian, I know you must be sad to hear about not one, but two Rockies players missing out on the WBC.
Yeah, that is a bummer.
Because you're a WBC guy.
I'm a big WBC guy. Favorite sporting event ever, or sporting tournament ever. But I agree with Bud Black, though, on this. You know, silver lining is better for these things to happen now than a month from now, 2 months from now. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really important to, especially be for the Rockies, looking at injuries right now, because the Rockies are not a team that has this just insane amount of depth that they can fall back on if some of their superstars get hurt. They're a team that is going to have an uphill battle even if all their guys are completely healthy. And we saw this last year with Chris Bryant. So I think it's going to be imperative for them to stay as healthy as possible this year because they're already kind of with their backs up against the wall. So I'd rather, you know, if they're going to get some injuries out of the way, do it now. Get those, you know, taken care of. Spend that extra time focusing on those injuries, getting them back to where they need to be so that they can be ready come, you know, a quarter of the season on.
Yeah, I mean, of course, it's such a great honor to represent your country at the World Baseball Classic, but the priority is getting through this Rockies season.
Yeah.
Getting to 500 at least.
At least.
Please.
At least.
Yeah. but yeah, that is the struggle. You know, it's hard enough to pitch at Coors Field. We don't exactly have the best depth when it comes to pitching staff. We got to keep these guys healthy. We got to keep them together. But it's good to hear that Hermann is going to be fine in the long term. Senza's on track. Rolison is working on the comeback, trusting the process, progressing, building that arm strength. So good news in here for now.
Yeah, so far. You know, I mean, and this is super early. The season's long. This is what spring training is all about for me. It's about, you know, getting guys some simple reps, getting them just back out there, getting them in like Bud said, you know, getting the baseball pants on and just doing some baseball activities. That's what that's all about to me. And for me moving forward, this is just their opportunity to kind of get through some of that so that come season, they can feel confident going into it and not feel like they're still working through some injuries or anything like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Good point. Tiffany, was that Patrick?
It wasn't. It was just
whenever
our
we
live
hear,
studio audience,
whenever we hear
was.
A noise, we're like, is that Patrick calling in? Because we don't know what the noise sounds like, but we know it's a noise.
There's a red light that is supposed to light up when Patrick calls in. We'll look for that.
Yes. We need an alarm, just like a siren. Honestly, like a fire alarm.
Yes. Some sort of signal that tells us Patrick's waiting.
We need a signal. Speaking of Patrick, Patrick talked to Connor Siebold earlier today. Great conversation. Is it so important to get to know these guys that we have not met yet? Mm-hmm. Tiffany, do we have that interview ready? All right. So here is what Patrick and Connor Siebold had to talk about earlier this morning.
Here with Connor Siebold of the Colorado Rockies. Connor, we were just talking about the fact that, you know, since you've been drafted and traded once, you've mainly been in Florida. What are your first impressions of baseball here in Arizona?
You know, I've played a little bit over here in the past, but like getting to do spring trainings, you know, it's really nice. It's a little bit of an adjustment. Like, it's a lot drier. It's a lot, you know, windier. We're not having great weather right now, but I know I've heard overall the weather is better on this side. But no, I'm excited. I'm excited to get going. I know games start in a few days, and you know, stoked to get in there and get going.
You're probably aware of making sure you're well hydrated. Are you doing a humidifier when you were sleeping at night? Any hacks just yet?
No, I think I mean, I'm in a hotel right now, so it's like a humidifier would be tough to pull off. But in the future, I was looking into doing that. But.
So I know you've got some experience out west here, originally from California, but it's been a part of your life down the Castle Rock area in Colorado as a Coloradan. What are your impressions or memories of your time when you lived in the Centennial State?
You know, I remember really liking Colorado during the summer. The winters I wasn't as much of a fan of, but that's just, you know, from me being, you know, growing up in California. Overall, though, I mean, I have a lot of good memories there. I remember really liking Denver. Like, I thought Denver was a super cool city. Bunch of memories there. And, you know, that's part of, like, you know, why I'm so stoked to be here is getting to hopefully, like, relive, you know, being in Denver for a little bit and hopefully a long time. So it's cool to like kind of, you know, go back to, you know, where a lot of this like got going. So yeah,
and hoping to maybe relive Rocktober, because I believe you were there in 2007. Maybe you can share a little bit about your memories and experiences then.
Absolutely. No, I mean, 2007 was, I mean, it's a little bit of a blur now, but I mean, I'd still vividly remember, like, you know, the walk-off slide into home, like Matt Holliday absolutely touching home plate without a doubt. But like, you know, that game was so just electric. Like, we got one of like the last tickets like into the stadium somehow. I can't remember like what that whole deal was, but like, we were like right down the right field line, and I remember just like, you know, being like really happy and then really upset because, like, you know, they kept like, you know, going back and forth and all that. And then I also remember not being able to go to bed till like 3 a.m. because I was so like hyped up afterwards, because it was an incredible game. But yeah, no, I mean, and then before that, you know, I got to go to some of like the games when they were like, you know, down the stretch when they were just rolling, and that was super fun to watch too. Yeah.
Did you have to go to school the next day, or did you get that day off too?
Probably. I probably went to school the next cares? Day. Yeah, who cares? I mean, it's like one of those, like, you know, sick days, wink, wink, but
yeah.
No, but I remember a lot of, like, I went to a lot of games that season specifically, because that was my first year living in Colorado, and so like my parents like wanted to go check it out as much as possible, and you know, it was a good year to go check out.
In your mind, does Coors Field still kind of exist as one of these baseball cathedrals, as just one of the finest ballparks in the country?
Oh, absolutely. Funny enough, I pitched at Coors Field for a high school game my sophomore year, I think, because they do like the, or I don't know if they still do, but we had like a game where like they do the thing where you go sell tickets and in return you get to play on the field for a game. And so we did one of those, and I think I closed out a game my sophomore year there. So, yeah.
Nice. That's a good story. Pierce Johnson, apparently, I think, was also at game 163 too. So you guys were friends and you didn't even know it.
Yeah. I mean, I've talked to Pierce a good amount so far, and I mean, he's, you know, a clown, but he's awesome.
Yeah. I'll have to bring that up in the conversation at some point.
I'll definitely drop that in front of him and see what he says.
So for Rockies fans who want to get to know you a little bit better, give us a little scouting report on yourself, pitch mix. What can they look forward to seeing from you this year?
Fastball. I like to pitch off my fastball. I mean, I command it really well, so it's a good, like, you know, set up to the off speeds, and then the best off speed, in my opinion, is the changeup. Like, I like it a lot to both righties and lefties. I try and use it a lot. And then slider is like a good you know, secondary option to get in the strikeout, especially for righties. And then curveball is a little newer, but it's coming along, and it's a good like steal a strike pitch or late in the count try and bounce it, see if the guy will chase.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
No problem.
Hello. we've got a pitcher here.
I always love guys who, you know, can really command a changeup. That was always my struggle as a pitcher. I had a really good slider, really good cutter, good fastball, but my changeup was just, you know, sometimes it was great, sometimes it wasn't. So I appreciate him saying that his changeup was his go-to, because I wish that I could have gotten that.
See, I always say, I said this, we were getting drinks at work on, was it Friday? We were facking, Marissa, you were there, when I said, I said dead serious. I'm like, I think if I trained, I could be an MLB pitcher.
Yeah, I saw you tweet that too.
Yeah, I think I could. Yeah, yeah, I did tweet it.
There
were several adult beverages that were had when I said that, but like, I still believe it. I really do think that
anything
if I
you
trained
set
a
your
lot.
Mind to, yes, anything you set your mind to, you could do it, Susie.
So I'm gonna start training.
Yeah.
I'm gonna start working on it. When I go to spring training, I'm just gonna get up there and start throwing bullpens.
I'll be your pitching coach. We can,
Thank you.
I'll work on that changeup with you a little bit. Yes. You know, a little circle change, tailing away. You're a righty, right?
I'm a lefty.
Oh, you're a lefty. Okay,
yeah.
Even
so
better.
So that's why I really think I've got a shot.
Oh, for sure. You'd have that two-seam tail fastball. It would be, we've got a future in you.
Let's freaking go. We don't have Patrick yet, right? No. Okay, good. and then what time is it? Where are we at in this show?
Patrick's having too much fun.
You know what? I think we should talk about some of the things we love to talk about, like being a diehard at DNVR. It all happens here at the corner of Colfax and York, the best bar in the world. So if you're not a diehard already, you are missing out on 15% off of your whole tab at the bar, 20% off of everything at dnvrlocker.com, 20% off of Broncos tailgates, nuggets, party buses, and those are always such a good time. That annual membership comes with a free t-shirt from dnvrlocker.com every damn year. And you're getting extra raffle tickets at all of our watch parties to win even more free gear. Plus, you get access to our diehards only Discord, where you can watch Patrick harass me about wrestling. and you can find all of this and more at thednvr.com. And here at DNVR, we love our friends at Breck Brew, and we love it even more when they partner with us to do really cool giveaways, like the Game Day Experience giveaway. They are giving out tickets to an Avs game and a Nuggets game, but it's not just tickets. It is the VIP experience. You are getting Lexus Club access. You're getting DNVR merch. And you're getting parking. This is actually so incredible. So the Avs game that they're giving away for Thursday, March 9th against the Kings, you're getting two tickets just a couple rows off the rink. You're getting Lexus Club. I mentioned the parking pass. You're getting gear. And, of course, the Nuggets giveaway where you can rock the courtside fit. That is Thursday, March 30th against the New Orleans Pelicans. Those are the courtside seats. Can't miss it. Of course, you're getting club access, parking pass, and gear with that. So here's how to enter. Head to the dnvr.com/BreckSweeps, then complete the form to enter. It is that easy. Also, make sure you are following Breck Brew and DNVR on social media. You must be 21 or older. The link is in the show description. Winners will be selected a week before each of those games. So, that Avs game is kind of coming up.
Fun stuff. Yeah.
Fun stuff.
A lot of fun stuff there.
Maybe you want to win even more, put a little money on it. That's what DraftKings is for.
Nice.
We love DraftKings. So yeah, no more football betting, but lots of baseball stuff. Of course, lots of NHL, NBA. New customers can bet just $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly if you win. So listen, you got those prop bets. You like a leggy bet?
Yeah. Yeah.
I love a leggy bet.
Always.
I love a leggy bet. All right. So, bottom line, download the DraftKings Sportsbook app, use code DNVR. New customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code DNVR. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. Sounds good. See show notes for details. All right. So, we've heard from a lot of guys that we don't know super well. But we have this great mic'd up content from Brian Servin. They mic'd him up during spring training while he was doing his workouts, doing his stretches. He's such a character.
Yeah.
I don't know how well you know him, but like, I think he's just an absolute riot.
Yeah, he seems like a good time. And he seems like he's having a fun time at spring training.
I think he's having a good time, yeah. So, Tiff, do we have that video ready? Yeah, because the Rockies did such a great job with this. This is amazing. All right, here's what Brian Servin has to say during a day of training.
Normal routine, for spring, I mean, I get here at like 6:30. Usually go straight to the hot tub, get the body loose. Usually right after that, cage opens around 8. So go hitting the cage around 8. We usually have announcements around 9 or 9:30, so then just start getting ready for the day. You know, hang out in the clubhouse, you know, talk to the guys, see how everybody's doing. And then we come out, stretch.
Cat-cow. This is the best stretch.
I was actually going to ask you what your favorite stretch is.
This one. This is the best. You guys ever do cat-cow, Red? Back in the day?
Catchers, right now what we're doing is we're hitting first. We're hitting BP on the field. I've been standing further away from the plate just to give myself – I started to get jammed a lot towards the end of the year last year. I don't know. I don't think so. That might have been a swing thing. That might have been a pitch selection thing. Who knows? But so I was just – I scooted a little bit closer to the plate, like tiny bit, like half inch closer to the plate the last couple rounds, and I just felt more connected. There was five good ones.
When you're close and you can keep your hands tight to your body, that's when you're maximizing the strength.
Does that look different? Or is that
Okay. It looks connected.
Yeah.
Okay. Marky, are you going to throw a little bit? When a guy throws what he's supposed to throw, it's pretty easy to catch it for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to know, like, if a guy's trying to throw a sinker and every now and then he cuts it a little bit, like, knowing that, like, knowing what his miss will be, for me, is one of the biggest parts of catching, especially at this level, because everybody's stuff is so good.
How you feel?
Yeah, a lot better.
Looks good. Yeah. Looks good to me.
Yeah.
You look normal?
Yeah, normal.
Okay.
If they're gonna be, you know, if they're gonna try to throw a cutter and they throw a little bit of two seam, or they're gonna try to throw a slider, but it's more of a curveball, you just gotta know, like, if they're gonna throw a changeup, but they cut it every now and then. In the game, you can't miss pitches. You know, like, you might not, you don't always have to catch it perfect, but you don't want to miss pitches. I mean, there's a lot of younger guys right now with this group, but me and D, you know, we have a great relationship.
Alo.
And a lot of these younger guys, they're all good guys, and it's fun just, you know, catching up and talking with everybody. Good group of guys we got right now.
All right. And just as we started running that, I think Patrick called in.
Yes, but he hung up.
He hung up.
Oh.
On purpose?
He dropped us.
Oh, no. That breaks my heart. Let's talk about Brian Servan then. While we were watching that, Christian was like, oh, yeah, like, you know,
yeah.
I've broken some thumbs.
Oh, that for sure. I actually loved what he was saying there, you know, because I've, as a pitcher, you know, you have a relationship with your catchers, and pitch variability is a huge thing that a lot of catchers don't really know about until you get to a higher level. And what he's talking about when he's talking about, you know, some pitches might be expected to do certain things. So if you're throwing a four-seam fastball, you're expecting it to be a straight fastball. But every once in a while, you get a pitcher who maybe his arm angle adjusts just a little bit, you know, by a couple inches or centimeters, and just enough where it's going to put a little bit of tail on a ball. And every pitcher has a different thing. Mine would always cut a little bit more. So every once in a while, I'd throw a four-seam fastball that would cut. And so many catchers break their thumbs or just, you know, they've got a swollen palms because they're just not used to that. When you get guys throwing 95 miles an hour with cut, with tail, with curve, that can be a huge thing. So I think that's really important. And it's cool to hear these guys talking about this and really giving you another aspect of the game that you don't really see very often.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's really speaks as well to the relationship these catchers have with their pitchers, because when you've got 15 plus pitchers that you're working with throughout a year or more, you've got to know all the different nuances between how these pitchers throw, their different arm slots, their different timing and speeds, all the pitches. There's a lot more that goes into it than I think people realize. And that's that was cool. I really appreciated him giving some insight on that.
Yeah, no, it is super cool. Yeah, lots of good things to say. Also, Brian Servan, you know, we've mentioned he's a lot of personality. He has a Tamagotchi. He got a Tamagotchi, and this has been just like this is the bit the Rockies are doing this spring training. It's hysterical, but also it's so funny. You know, we brought this up. Obviously, it's in the headline of our freaking podcast today, because that is how important the Tamagotchi is to me. But Christian also did not know what a Tamagotchi is.
No, that's new information to me. I've heard of the name, but I had never actually known what it was. So
yeah, so it's like a little, you know, it's a little animal that you take care of inside of a virtual egg.
Okay, so that's supposed to be an egg.
It's supposed to be an egg.
Okay.
And
you raise
there's
it?
A little, yeah, so it starts as a little baby, and you, like, feed it, and you have to play with it, and you have to, like, clean up after it. And there's only, like, three buttons on there, too, so.
Yeah, you're very limited in your child caring you know, abilities.
Yes. But the thing is, the thing about Tamagotchi, so we had these when we were kids. I think you might have just missed it.
Yeah.
You kind of just missed it. You're on the young end for Tamagotchis.
Yeah.
I was like the prime age for them.
You were in the Tamagotchi phase.
But the thing is, you have to like take care of them every day. Like if you let them go for like a, you know, an 8-hour school day, they will die during the day.
Oh my gosh.
I know. So then you have to like start over with a new Tamagotchi. It's very sad.
I had this game online that was like, it was kind of like Sims, but it was with like zoos. And I remember that was the like,
wait, which
zoo,
one is this?
Zoo Tycoon, I think, if I remember correctly. Okay. But like, if it was the same thing where like, if you didn't take care of your animals every single day, there was like a timer on it, and your like elephants would die. And you know, I'd like take like 3 days off from playing, and I'd come back and I'm like, why are all my animals dead? So yeah, that's that seems intense. That's very a lot of pressure.
I'm glad your dog is doing better.
Yeah, she's doing much better. She's doing much better. A good thing I don't run a zoo. All right, that's not in the cards for me.
Oh gosh. Was that Patrick in? No. How did we lose him?
He's just having too much fun in spring training, enjoying the nice warm weather over there and getting to hang out with some people. I saw you got to eat a hot dog too. There is nothing that says it's baseball season more than just eating a hot dog in spring.
Yes. Like I don't feel like I could eat a hot dog here.
No, not at all.
I'm like looking out at the snow. I'm like, yep, it's still snowing.
That's
York Street behind us, and it looks terrible.
It looks miserable. We were almost hit like twice on the way over here, just trying to get in. People are crazy on the roads, and yeah, not baseball weather.
This is not baseball weather. I cannot wait to get down to Arizona where it is baseball weather. Is that Patrick? Bring him in. Bring him in.
Send him in.
Look at that
flow and everything.
Sunshine, the flow. Patrick, can you hear us?
Howdy, y'all. How's it going? From sunny, yet windy.
We've got Christian Saez here, too.
Hey,
Patrick. We've been talking a lot about pitching, because why wouldn't we? But how is everything down there?
Good. Glad you guys can have me on the Susie and Saez show. I do appreciate that. Things going well here in general. Can you hear me okay?
You know, it's a little windy, but we can hear you okay.
Okay. Yeah, no, pitching actually was a lot of the conversation this morning with Bud Black. The bullpen. I think they're going to be a little bit better than people maybe are anticipating. They picked up two guys this offseason that I think can be relied upon in the bullpen. Obviously, Pierce Johnson's their lone free agent that they've signed. But they also were able to pick up Brent Suter on waivers. And so that's a pretty valuable pickup that they got from Milwaukee, a guy that Bud Black himself was pretty surprised that Milwaukee just kind of let him go. But Black gets the emails. He gets the alerts on his phone and his computer when guys get waived. And he immediately picked up the phone and let Bill Schmidt know, hey, you know, this is a guy, if we can get him, if the teams that were worse than us last year let him go and don't claim him, then we need to make sure that we step up and do that. Spoke with Craig Counsell all about Brent Suter. And so he's going to be a really great fit here. It's only 1 year. You know, this is his final year before he hits free agency. So we'll kind of wait and see what happens. But Rockies have a few guys in their bullpen that are going to be free agents after this year. Dinelson Lamet, Pierce Johnson, who's only on that 1 year deal, Suter. So one of those guys, you know, might even be in the line for an extension here at some point, perhaps in spring training. This is kind of the time of the year to maybe get those things out of the way now, or else they could be in even a bigger pinch come next offseason.
So I'm happy to hear that is someone that Bud Black had the Google alerts on for.
He did, yeah. Suter's is a good guy. He Austin Gomber is actually the team representative as far as, all of the Players Association business is concerned. But Brent Suter, he's actually on the executive board. So I think that'll be helpful for the players to have that. A well-respected guy. Again, has yet to hit free agency, but he's I want to say 32, 33 years old. So he's no spring chicken himself. It's just one of those things, didn't get up to the big leagues until a little bit later than some of the younger guys. So, again, still yet to the free agency, but he's got some years under his belt. Smart, wise guy, great addition to the Rockies clubhouse.
Nice. How are our injured guys feeling today? Any updates from yesterday?
Well, we've got one more injured guy. Unfortunately, Riley Pint did suffer an oblique strain, and it's a little bit milder than the one that Jake Bird is suffering from. Bird will be out probably about 4 to 6 weeks. Could potentially make the opening day roster still. Still could potentially, you know, be ready. Obviously, if it's 6 weeks, that's not going to happen. But if it's closer to the 4 weeks, then he very well could be there on March 30th in San Diego. But Pint's injury is a little bit milder. You know, felt it during the live batting practice on Tuesday. And then ultimately, you know, was still able to kind of go about his side work afterwards. So that's kind of promising to suggest that it wasn't that severe. So they're going to kind of take it day by day for right now. But overall, you know, Pint's got a lot of work that he's going to need to do if he's going to, you know, possibly break through his numbers. Last year in Double A, there were some that were promising, and then there were others that weren't. You know, he just needs to throw a lot more strikes, and that was another part of the conversation is striking out more guys, just a little bit more, depending on what your track record is, and then walking a little bit less. The strikeout to walk ratio is a big thing that the Rockies need to improve upon, both starters and relievers each. But Pint's going to need to make some serious growth in order to do that, because he walks far too many, strikes out plenty. But if he's not in and around the strike zone, that's going to be problematic for any manager at any level. And so Pine's got to work on that if he's going to make his debut, the former fourth overall pick in the 2016 MLB draft. Actually, not former. He's still the fourth overall pick in the 2016 MLB draft.
He is.
And I was going to say, I mean, I know we were talking about this earlier, Patrick, you know, spring training. You don't want to see guys getting injured, but you kind of expect that, especially with pitchers going from offseason into you know, regular spring training, you're going to start to see some of those slight injuries popping up and being able to kind of take it day by day. But overall, I mean, talk to me a little bit about how you feel the importance of just being healthy is this year. The Rockies are not expected to be a team that's in the, you know, top 10 in the MLB. So how important is it for them to just be healthy, and how much of a focus is that as they go through spring training?
Well, one of our latest Unlocked articles over at thednvr.com kind of discusses that from yesterday, the fact that if you go back and look at the success they had in 2018, again, much different team, much higher talent level, but they got 162 starts out of 6 starting pitchers. They didn't have very many injuries. I think it was DJ LeMahieu, something like 40-some games on the IL at that time in 3 different stints. Otherwise, everyone was really healthy. And so their best foot was forward, and it was a healthy foot at that. And so this year's team is going to need a lot more of that too, because they were really banged up last year. Ryan Rawlinson, their top pitching prospect, still yet to make his major league debut, still recovering from that shoulder surgery last year. He's a guy that they're not relying upon right now, but he certainly could give them a major boost, maybe in the bullpen at first, then next season perhaps in the starting rotation. But Rawlinson was down for all of last year. Antonio Senzatella and Lucas Gilbreth, they were both guys that shut down, and their season ended early in August. So that was obviously, you know, problematic for the pitchers. And then Tyler Kinley, their best guy through the first 2 months of the season. He was fantastic. Sub-1 ERA, ends up going down, Tommy John surgery, and so he's lost for the season, hoping to get him back somewhere at the mid-season point. So they're banged up last year. And, of course, Chris Bryant, who I did get a chance to talk to this morning, you know, he was only around for 42 games. If all those guys are healthy, you win more than 68. You might not get the 500. You certainly might not make the postseason. But, again, the health is super, super important. Rockies have much better depth, I think, to supplement any of those injured players. So that is positive. But, Christian, you know, that you hit the nail on the head. They've got to be healthy to have all of their best pieces in play in order for them to have the best shot at possibly reaching that 500 mark, which does bode well for next season and going forward when all these young guys start coming around and their window of contention reopens again.
I look at it too. I mean, you know, you think of, okay, the first half of the season, you know, everyone's starting to kind of get back into the swing of things. But, you know, especially from second half after the All-Star game on, for pitchers specifically, you start to see guys starting to fall off a little bit. So having that depth, as you mentioned, super important for the Rockies to be able to put together a potentially winning season. If they want to make that happen, they've got to have that depth going late into the last few games.
They do. They, you know, there's a lot of veteran guys that are in camp on the offensive side. You know, Harold Castro is one of those non-roster pickups that came in late January. that is probably now more of a favorite, and more of a favorite to make the roster. So that probably means either only Alan Trejo or Ezekiel Tovar will be on that opening day roster. You could possibly see all three of those guys because Castro can play the outfield. So that's really helpful. But on the starting pitching front, you know, Matt Koch is a veteran guy, you know, that hasn't contributed too much in the big leagues, but he's a veteran that's around. Fernando Abad, left-handed reliever, 37 years old, you know, has parts of 10 years big league experience. So those guys will probably start the year down in AAA. But that's part of that depth that you may need to be call upon. You know, Logan Allen is another one of those guys, left-hander, still really young, has ultimately been a starting pitcher in his time with Boston and Cleveland, and he's now going to be a reliever. So he is another high quality lefty arm that the Rockies could possibly be able to tap if they need that going into the season. Lucas Gilbreth, completely healthy right now, so that's really positive for them. They already have Brent Suter, so that's two lefties. But Black could be really spoiled if Abad or someone like Logan Allen is also on that opening day roster. You could have three left-handed pitchers for the first time, and I don't know when.
We love to hear that. Patrick, anything else we need to know about what is happening down in Arizona before we let you go?
Chris Bryant is feeling healthy. That's a good thing. You know, was able to start his off-season regimen 2 weeks early, so that's really promising. He is enjoying the first normal off-season in a while. Again, as we said, really like the 2018-2019 off-season was the last normal one that we've had. So that's been helpful for him. Did catch up with Jake Bird. He is feeling a lot better since yesterday. Agreed with Bud Black. Hey, glad that it happened now. Get it out of the way. Did speak with Willie McIver a little bit yesterday. He's one of the most positive people that you could possibly talk to. He loves being surrounded by positivity. So he was thriving last year in Albuquerque with manager Warren Schaefer, with Whitten Bernard, was so happy for that promotion. Ryan McMahon, he might be a secret fan of the show. Well, you might have to talk about that at another point. He knew certain points here. He knew certain things about our podcast that or about us. That's making me think that perhaps he's listening. If so,
we will circle back on that for sure. Yeah,
right. The secret's out.
Yeah, we might have to do that. So, things are going well. Getting to talk with a lot of the guys, getting to know them. Connor Siebold, as you know, we got two guys from game 163, right? That were there. Connor Siebold, yeah. Who was in Colorado at the time. Pierce Johnson, Case Williams grew up in Colorado. So was he there? I'm beginning to think that, there was, 50-some thousand people there for Game 163 in 2007. But if you gave a survey out to all Colorado residents, it would probably come back that 217,000 of them were at the game that day. So I don't know. The numbers continue to grow because I've personally met at least 60,000 people who've said they were at that game. So fun stories that we're going to be catching up and reporting on for the next couple of weeks down here in Arizona for the DNVR.com.
All right, Patrick, thank you so much. Make sure you keep us posted on everything, and we will talk to you tomorrow.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me on Susie and Sia's show. I appreciate it.
Yes. All right, real fast. We lost track of time. We got to talk about Pins and Aces real fast because they are the official golf apparel partner of DNVR. We love our Pins and Aces gear. We get tons of compliments. We know the Big Drive Energy dudes are always rocking Pins and Aces. They're a family-owned golf and apparel business based right here in Colorado. They make amazing polos, hats, golf bags, and the absolute best invention ever, the beer sleeve, an innovative product that lets you store 7 beers right inside of your golf bag in like a tower kind of situation. Wow. Keeps them cold the whole round.
It's impressive.
It's really impressive. So check out pinsandaces.com. Use code DNVR to receive 15% off of your first order and get free shipping. That's pinsandaces.com. And oh my goodness, we got to talk about my husband's Backus and Shanker. When you get hurt, Backus and Shanker is here to help. They are winning for Colorado families, helping those who are seriously injured in Colorado for more than 25 years. So it is absolutely free to work with them until they win money in your case. There is no upfront fee to talk about your case. There is absolutely no fee until they are winning money for you. And Backus and Shanker, they've done it. They have won over $1 billion for their clients. And now they have even more locations serving all of Colorado, including neighborhood offices in Denver, Aurora, Englewood, and Fort Collins. They have an amazing staff of more than 30 lawyers. The bottom line, Backus and Shanker helps you with all kinds of injury cases where you weren't at fault. So car accidents, motorcycles, rideshare, pedestrian incidents, trucks, they can help even if you're injured at work. So call them at 222-2222, that is all two lows, to find out if you have a case for free. Backus and Shanker wins. All right. So yeah, Patrick mentioned yesterday in the Slack that like Rimac like knew that he drove down, but he was like, how did Rimac know that I drove down?
Huh.
He must be watching this show. So now we're just wondering.
Yeah.
Do you know what Rimac, sign if Rimac you're out there, is?
Wave your hand. Huh?
Do you know what sign he is?
No, I don't. I saw that was posted on the Rockies Twitter. Is he a Pisces?
No. He's a Sagittarius.
Oh, okay.
He's a natural clubhouse leader. And that's what we love about him.
See, and you told me. So, okay. I remember you did that show on, you know, how each different sign, you know, the stereotypes of them as a baseball player. What was Taurus? Was Taurus like historically pitchers?
There's a lot of earth. Taurus is an earth sign, and there's a lot of earth signs who are pitchers.
Okay.
We have a lot of Tauruses, like Kyle Freeland is a Taurus.
Okay, nice.
So yeah, lots of Tauruses on the pitching staff. I feel like earth signs are good pitchers because you have to be so grounded. You have to be so disciplined to be a pitcher. And also, like, you were literally on the ground.
Yeah, I remember you saying that and being like, oh, that makes sense. Like, I get it.
Christian is a Taurus, ladies and
gentlemen. I am. That's why I ask. But yeah, that's an interesting point. Never thought of it that way. Maybe you know, depending on when Marissa and I have a child, you know, we'll base our child's position on that.
Ooh,
on what their
Marissa's
what their
like,
earth sign is.
Marissa's
right?
over here like, no.
I know. I think that's does that carry over into basketball too? I mean, you know, all the other sports.
Yeah. It sounds like you guys have a lot to talk about
it
in private.
Like
so let's wrap up the show so we can let you guys talk about your family plans.
Yes,
so
family
you're not
planning.
Doing it on my show. Christian, where can we follow you?
On Twitter at CJJSaez.
All right. You can follow all the latest Rockies news at DNVR_Rockies. You can follow me at The Susie Hunter on all platforms. We've got the Broncos show coming up next in just a couple of minutes, and we will be back here at 11 o'clock-ish tomorrow to talk about some more Rocky spring training news. And Christian, you know what they say about me closing out a show?
I have no idea, Susie.
They say she doesn't know how to do it. So again, I'll see you tomorrow at 11-ish.